Our reading today is from Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 6. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and open our hearts and minds. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Wow. Is this a timely message or what? Lead a life worthy of our calling. Make every effort to maintain unity and peace. Be a good Samaritan. We all know the Good Samaritan story, but wasn't it great to see it in modern terms in the skit today? Especially the politician, right? God's message today is a challenge to us. Because right now, it's far too easy for all of us to lose sight of what's important as believers. Most of us are very concerned about ourselves right now. We're not thinking about living worthy. We're concerned that our opinions and our ways are right. We're not thinking about unity and peace. We are thinking so much about ourselves that we can fail to be a good Samaritan when we have the chance. But God has a better way for us to live. Isn't it great how every time you read the Bible, no matter how many times you've read it before, something new and amazing pops up? And if we really let it speak to us, we find that God is always speaking to our current situation, just like today. Years ago, a famous experiment was conducted with seminary students. Researchers gathered the ministry students in a classroom and told them that their assignment was to record a talk about the parable of the Good Samaritan. The thing was, the recordings were to be done in a building on the other side of the campus, and because of a tight schedule, they needed to hurry to that building. Now, unbeknownst to the students, on the path to the other building, the researchers had planted an actor to play the part of a man in distress, slumped in an alley, coughing, suffering. Now, these students were going to make a presentation about the Good Samaritan, but what would happen when they actually encountered someone in need? Would they be Good Samaritans? Well, no, they were not. Almost all of them rushed past this hurting man. One student even stepped over his body as he hurried to teach about the parable of the Good Samaritan. The truth is, most people just don't reach out to someone in need, even when we know it's right. In his book, The Walk, Pastor Adam Hamilton talks about a man named Kevin Hines who wanted to take his life. He went up to the Golden Gate Bridge, ready to jump off and end it all. But he said to himself, if even one person looks and smiles at me, I won't jump. You know what happened? No one stopped to look at him. So he climbed up on the edge of the bridge and he jumped. And somehow, miraculously, he lived to tell about it. Now he lives to tell other people the importance of a kind word, a smile, of taking notice of people who are ignored. Friends, life is not as it should be. But we as Christians are called to a better way of life. So I want all of us to think of a time when we passed by someone. I mean, we've all been there, right? Maybe we just felt like we were too busy or scared or anxious. Now think of a time when you did stop and help. How did that feel? One path brings regret. The other path brings life, right? And why are we called to that way of life? It's because we're followers of Jesus Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve and give his life for us. In Matthew 20, verse 26, Jesus says, "Whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant." We are called to be the helpers on the road of life. Which reminds me of wise words from a Presbyterian pastor, Mr. Rogers. He said, when I was a boy and I would see something scary on the news, my mother would say, look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping. The question is, are we helping? The words serve, service, and servant appear over 1,000 times in the Bible. Serving is something we do, like justice and kindness and humility. It's a way of life. But how do we know when and where to serve? One of our former Peace USA co-moderators, Jan Edmiston, suggests that if we want to know that, we must ask ourselves, what breaks God's heart? Isn't that a great question? What is breaking God's heart near us? What heartbreaking situations do you encounter? What might God be asking us to do about that? At the end of Matthew 25, Jesus says that wherever we offer food or clothing, a visit or welcome to the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the stranger, the prisoner, whenever we reach out to help the least of these, we are helping Jesus himself. This is our calling. It's not optional. It's our way of life. You know, I've been really humbled lately, realizing how much this virus has caused me to focus too much on myself this past year and a half. All the news, the debates, the what to do or say, it's very self-focused, isn't it? Thankfully, God has a better way. Instead of us worrying so much about ourselves and things like whether or not to wear a mask, whether or not we are right or wrong, what if we were more concerned about people who were evicted at the end of the rent moratorium? Or families who don't have enough food, or those who cannot support a family? What about those who are isolated and alone, sick or suffering? How can we be more concerned about that? Helping is about bridging a gap between the kingdom of God and the kingdom on earth, just like in the Lord's Prayer when we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We try to live that as best we can. Professor Ron Heifetz of the Harvard School of Government has a diagram for leadership and bridging the gap. One is just a straight horizontal line that represents the world as it is. The other is a line above that at a 45-degree angle, and that represents the world as it should be. Now, we all know there is a big gap between the way the world is and the way it should be. We are called to help bridge that gap, whoever we are, wherever we are. And that means getting beyond ourselves. It also means getting beyond our fear of the other, whoever that might be. In Jesus' parable, the other is the Samaritan or the politician in the skit we saw today. You know who the Good Samaritan was? He was despised by the Jews. Both the priest or the televangelist we saw today and the Levite or the environmentalist we saw today, they just passed by. Even though they knew God's law to love a neighbor, they did not live up to their calling. The Samaritan was not considered a good person. This was not even a person, according to some Jews. And yet he did more than just check on the poor man. He was moved with compassion. He bandaged him, took him to an inn, cared for him, and even hired help to care until his return. Think about that for a minute. It is the Samaritan who helps. The Samaritan is the hero. Who is that to us? Pastor Amy Jill Levine writes, is there any group about whom we'd rather die than acknowledge he showed compassion? Or is there any group who would rather die than help us? That's how we find the modern equivalent of the Samaritan. The Samaritan is the other. Jews and Samaritans hated each other so much that the lawyer who has posed the question to Jesus cannot even bring himself to say the word Samaritan when Jesus asks him who was the neighbor. He simply says, the one who showed him mercy. Wow. So God is really getting us thinking this morning about living a life worthy about unity and peace, about helping wherever there's a need, and now about reaching out to those we consider the other. Who is an other in your life? Who are the people you can't understand, who you think are crazy or dumb or ridiculous? If we're honest, we already have a list in our mind, right? Sadly, in our current climate, we do. Once we have that list, we can start to understand even more of what God is calling us to do and be. There's an amazing little book called Fear of the Other by William Willimon. He's a Methodist pastor. And the premise is very simple. Our default is to fear those who are different from us, aka the other. But Jesus calls us to love the other. Why? Because we are the other to someone else. The problem is, Willimon describes some very real neurobiology behind the fear of those who are different. Something actually happens in our brains when we come across people we don't understand or people we don't accept. We're afraid, literally, physically, and that fear can turn to anger or even hatred. But we are Christ followers, so thank goodness, God's love can cast out fear. And we are called to live in that love. This is what it means to love our neighbor or be a good Samaritan. It's about loving in the real world, like your grumpy or annoying friend, or even someone who spews hatred towards you or those you love. We will all be in situations where we're called to love the other in our midst. The question is, who is the other to you? Is it someone of a different faith, ethnicity, sexual orientation, or identity? Is it someone with the opposite political affiliation? We are called to actually love people of a different political party. Sadly, our fear and disdain of the other is rampant today, isn't it? Especially in our politics. I mean, there's news stations on both sides devoted to stoking it. We're surrounded with messages about fear and disdain of anyone who is different or anyone who disagrees with us. And that becomes this breeding ground for hate and cruelty. And that is not the life we're called to live. God has a better way. Living a life worthy of our calling is about seeking unity, peace, serving people in need, and loving the other, whoever that might be. It's about realizing that we are the other to some people and even to God, because we fail God. We're broken. And the forgiveness we have received from Jesus is the very mercy and compassion we have to give to others. The grace we've received is the grace we are called to give. Robert Wuthnow, a professor at Princeton, once conducted research about why some people are generous and compassionate while others are not. He found out that for many compassionate people, something had happened to them. An experience had transformed their lives. For example, he writes about Jack Casey, a rescue worker who had little reason to be a good Samaritan. Casey was raised in a tough home, the child of an abusive alcoholic father, but something happened to Jack as a child. One day he was having surgery and he was frightened. And a surgical nurse compassionately reassured him and said, "Don't worry, I'll be right beside you no matter what happens." And when Jack woke up again, she was true to her word and still there. Years later, Jack Casey, a paramedic, was sent to the scene of a highway accident. A man was pinned upside down in his pickup, and as Jack was trying to get him out of the wreckage, gasoline was dripping down on both of them. The rescuers were using power tools to cut the metal, so one spark could have caused everything to go up in flames. The driver was frightened and crying out about how scared he was of dying. Jack remembered what happened to him a long time ago on the operating table, and he said, "Look, don't worry. I'm right here with you, and I'm not going anywhere." And he didn't. He stayed to help rescue that man. Haven't we all been in a ditch before? Haven't we received the grace and mercy of God? Then that means we have grace and mercy to share with others, even with the other. We might be called to reach beyond our fear and disdain to help someone who is actually just like us. God wants us to lead that life that is worthy of our calling because it leads to true life, new life, a life worth living. And for that, all God's people can say together, Amen.